Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi today is in chapter 14 of Zevachim, Mishnayot 3 and 4, continuing the theme of some exceptions to the rule that someone cannot slaughter or offer up items outside the temple. Mishnah Gimel, Mechusar Zman, an offering that is before the time, Bein Begufa, whether that's in the body of the animal itself, like we learned yesterday, an animal that's not yet 8 days old, or an animal where the mother or the child was slaughtered that day, you cannot slaughter the other one, the child or the mother. So oto et beno would also be premature. It seems to me that when we have the temple, Bezrat Hashem, very soon we'll be offering hundreds, thousands, even tens of thousands of offerings every day. We'll probably use Bluetooth or RFID tags and an app just to track how old each animal is and who the mother is of each animal, who the offspring are, so that people will be aware if the mother is slaughtered, not to bring the children that day, not to slaughter them at all. Anyway, Mechusar Zman, Bein Begufa, Bein Bevolov, or it's with the owners. And now the Mishnah is explained, Ve'ezehu, which one is it, Mechusar Zman Bebalav, where it's premature with respect to the owner? That's Hazav, a man who had an irregular emission, and he has to bring an offering on the 8th day after. Hazava, a female who had an abnormal emission. Hayuledet, a woman who gave birth. And for the Yoledet, there's a 40-day waiting period for a boy and 80 days for a girl. And on the day after of each, she brings an ola and a chatat, either from animals or from birds. A metzora, and the metzora has tzarat, and after his tzarat is healed, there's a 7-day period of purification. And then on day 8, he does bring an asham, an ola, and a chatat. So for these people, if it's not yet the time to bring their offerings, they bring the hatat or the asham outside the temple, pturim, they are exempt from doing so because it wasn't yet time to bring the hatat and the asham for their purification. But olotehim, if they bring their olav shalmehim or their shlamim b'chutz outside the temple, hayavin, they would be chayev. Now, it is premature. Their ola and their shlamim don't count towards the requirement for purification, but an ola and a shlamim are valid as a nedava, as a gift, so it would still be chayev if they were brought outside, even prematurely for these people. Now, the Mishnah brings another category that's exempt from halah b'chutz because it's something that's supposed to be eaten. Hamali bisar hatat. Somebody burns up the flesh, the meat that's eaten from a hatat, mibisar asham, or from an asham, mibisar kodshei kodshim, or from the flesh of other holy of holies. And the Bartanura here points out, this is only the kivsei atzeret, the lambs that come on Shavuot, shem shalmei tzibur, they're shlamim of the community. So the Bartanura explains, these are counted as kodshei kodshim, even though normal shlamim are kodshei kolim, but these are shalmei tzibur, these are communal shlamim, they're only eaten by the kohanim, and they're kodshei kodshim. Now back in the Mishnah, bibsar kodshei kolim, or from the meat of kodshei kolim, things like the bechor, maiser, shlamim, tauda, and the pesach, umotor haomer, and from the remainder of the omer after the kemitza, shtei alechem, or from the 2 loaves of shavuot, v'lechem apanim, or the showbreads, the 12 breads in the temple, shari menachot, the remainder of the mincha, after the kometz is scooped out, the kometz and levona get burned, and the rest of it is eaten. So all of these items are supposed to be eaten and not burned, so they're not going to count towards shu'ut echutz. And now the Mishnah adds another category, hayotzek, somebody who pours oil into a mincha, ha'bolel, somebody who stirs and mixes the oil into the mincha, ha'potet, somebody who crumbles up the fried mincha. We're going to learn all about these items in Menachot chapter 6, these actions that are done with the mincha, ha'moleach, somebody who salts an offering, and the Torah says, b'kol karbon chatakriv melech, every offering gets salted, ha'menif, somebody who waves an offering, certain offerings require this, ha'mogish, somebody who brings a mincha close, they would bring the mincha in the bowl and touch it to the altar, ha'mesoder et ha'shulchan, somebody who arranges the showbread on a table, ha'meitiv et ha'nerot, somebody who cleans out the lamps for the menorah to be able to light it again, ha'kometz, somebody who separates a kometz, scoops the kmitza out of the mincha offering, ha'mekabel damim, or somebody who receives blood from a slaughtered animal, b'chutz, they're doing this outside the temple, and all of these actions, potter, they're exempt from halah b'chutz or shu'ut echutz, and the Bartner explains that the Pasuk says in Vayikra chapter 17, Asher yale ola azevach, that he brings up a carbon ola or an offering, mahalo shugmar avoda, that the bringing up, the burning up on the mizbeach, it's gmar avoda, the finishing complete act. It's a complete act of avodah. Of course, gmar avoda. So it has to be something that's a complete avoda, yatsu elo. But these things, these actions, are not a complete avodah in themselves. And back in the Mishnah points out, ein chayavino lov, if somebody does these actions, lo mishum zarut, he's not chayav if he's a zar, if he's a non-kohen who does it, lo mishum tuma, or he's a kohen, but he is ritually impure, lo mishum mechuzar begadim, or he's a kohen, but not wearing the four kohanic vestments, the big dekuna, lo mishum rachot yidayim regloim, or he's a kohen, but he has not washed his hands and his feet. As we pointed out in chapter 2, These situations do disqualify the action. If he does these actions and he was tamei, etc., then the action is not valid, but the person who does it is not chayav mita, he's not liable for the death penalty for doing these things, as he would be if, for example, he did shechita or burned up part of the offering that's supposed to be burned up in this situation. On to Mishnah Dalet, ad shelo hukam mishkan. Before the mishkan, the tabernacle was erected, Hayua bamot mutarot, a bama, which is literally a platform, or it's like a private altar. Like people would set up an altar in their backyard and bring offerings in their backyard. Mutarot, that was allowed. The avodah and the divine service, babachorot, was done through the firstborn son. The Bartner here cites Shmot chapter 24, verse 5. Yishlach Adonai b'nei Yisrael, the youth of b'nei Yisrael, is the bechorot, that they were doing the avodah then. And the Mishnah says, Misha hukam a mishkan, but once the mishkan was erected and in service, nesru habamot, it was forbidden to build an altar or use a platform and make an offering outside of the mishkan. Avoda bekohanim, and the divine service was done only with kohanim. And of course, they were assisted by Levim, and we see in Parsha Bamidbar, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, in chapter 3, verse 12, there's a mitzvah to redeem the firstborn Israelites, the non-Levim, with the Levim. So Levim and Kohanim are now taking over the job for the Bechorim. Back in the Mishnah, Kodshei Kodshim, the Holy of Holies, Necholim, Livni Meklayim, had to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan. Recall, the Mishkan had curtains all around the Chatzera Mishkan, the courtyard of the tabernacle, not walls, and Kodshim Kolim, and lesser degree, lesser sanctified offerings, Bekol Machane Yisrael, could be eaten in the entire camp of the Jewish people, but not outside the camp. Tomorrow we're going to get into what happened later in history with the divine service. Yashar Kochachem, Tisku the Mitzvot.